Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's just mom wearing a corn cob or smoking a corn cob pipe with like a newspaper in front of her face. Anytime Radigan's around watching,
yeah, it's like a ventriloquist thing.
Tarnished ones, welcome back to another episode of the Lore Boys. Today we are going to cover one of the hardest bosses in what critics call the Dark Souls of Dark Souls games, Elden Ring. Yeah, my name is James.
It does sound like something. Sorry,
and I am joined by.
Sorry, just still polishing this silver over here. Trying to get the tarnish out, you know?
Gotta get it off, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I made that joke on the last episode, but not positive. I'm betting that I did, just knowing me.
Felt new to me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
And me, Peter O'Donohue. I don't remember anything we say at all anymore, because I haven't listened to an episode of the show in years. And now I quite literally eject every memory of like our recording onto the script. And I do want to do one quick apology. Oh, I got to own up to something that gave me more blowback than anything ever recently. I watched Top Gun from the 80s. You fucking savages. I did it. Because, like, I've said I don't like Dark Souls 2. I've said I don't like Dragon Age 2 or, like, Inquisition and other popular games that just aren't my thing.
Having I don't like Mass Effect Andromeda, so sue me.
Yeah. having not seen Top Gun got me more comments than anything for some reason. I saw it and I liked it. There you go.
Nice.
Get that out of the way.
Cool.
And a couple of patrons, right, Pete, that you said you were going to list at the top of the show?
Oh, yes, of course. Welcome, new paying customers. I love this one. We have Tyler. And then we have Ethan's illegitimate child.
Oh, yeah. I saw that notification pop up on my phone. I said, huh. But welcome, my son.
Welcome to both of you.
Yeah. Cool. So back to Elden
Ring. Or daughter, I guess.
Ring.
I don't know why I assumed it was a son.
Yeah, could have been either.
It's the internet.
What do you guys remember from the first Elden Ring episode? This is the second one, so if it's your first time here, feel free to go back and check the first one where we kind of do creation myth and stuff like that. But what do you remember from it, guys?
I remember a Gideon. Who was a guy with like a lion companion or like a lion ghost that followed him around?
Godfrey.
That's Godfrey. My bad. Yeah. My bad. I of course remember Gideon because that's a reference to a Magic the Gathering character. So, so Godfrey had a ghost, got with some girl. There was a war, and now it's kind of just like the time after the war with all like the demigod children running amok.
That's pretty good, actually. That's not bad. Yeah, Pete. Do you remember anything extra to that or?
Yeah, I remember that the Elden Ring, I don't remember if it is like an abstract god or it was sent to this version of Earth as an emissary from the abstract god. And I do remember Empyrean because like that's a word that comes up a lot for us. And like Empyreans are just like the name for the demigods or whatever. And I know there's Merica and she was like the chosen one of the Elden Ring itself.
Yeah.
And she like had a bunch of kids, but like split in half and became a man and got herself pregnant and got married to herself.
Something
or
was
something.
Stolen. There was like the dark cultists who stole
the death
like,
rune.
Got the death rune,
which allowed
them to die or something like that. Yeah. Or it's speculated that it would allow them to die. And I'm sure I looked this up last time. Empyrean is the highest heaven or heavenly sphere in ancient and medieval cosmology.
And in Elden Ring verse, it is born of one god with a couple exceptions, but born of one god, which gives you you become a more powerful god if you only have one Christmas instead of two in the Elden Ring verse. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like we still have one Christmas because America and Radon are the same person. So even though my parents got divorced, they were the same woman. So it's fucked up.
Yeah.
So I still don't get double presents.
Yeah. So today, like, what we are going to get to is Melania and Mikaela, who are the two kids of Merica and Radragon, who were the same person. We'll get to that. But I'll get to, you guys were pretty close on the summary from last time. I'll run through it for what I have. So okay. If you want to listen to the full version, check out our previous episode. But if you just want to keep going, strap in.
Just remember, our first episode about Elden Ring was out before Vaadi Vidya released his. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, it was earlier on, but here we go. So at first, the world was chaos. All creatures were at war. This is the lands between. And then an outer god known as the Greater Will. Outer gods are gods that never make an appearance in the game, but they kind of meddle with this world. Called the Greater Will, sends a golden star down to the lands between. And inside of the star is the Elden Ring. It's an artifact that eventually starts the Age of Grace. Grace is the stuff that leads you from bonfire to bonfire in this game. It's what the Golden Order's power is. And the leader of the Golden Order and the owner of the ring at this point is Queen Merica. She rises to power along with her first husband, Godfrey, who becomes the Elden Lord. They made a bunch of babies as a backup plan to preserve the Golden Order in case something goes wrong. And Merica and Godfrey led a war effort that more or less won over all of the lands between. And then Erd trees started to bloom all over because it's the Age of Grace. The folks in the Golden Order kind of conquered everywhere, more or less. Any questions so far?
I guess just for clarification, because I remember, but the Erd trees are like these gigantic magical trees made of light from what I have seen, correct?
Made of grace, presumably, right?
Grace, yeah. It looks a lot like in Norse mythology, what are those, the world trees?
Yggdrasil.
Yeah, really similar to that. So in comes Ranni now, and that's a daughter of Radragon, Merica's male form, and Rennala, the Moonlight Queen. And Ranni steals a fragment of the Rune of Death from Merica's shadow wolf, Malekith, the Black Blade, and kills Godwin, the first son, the golden boy of the Golden Order. She kills with the Rune of Death after stealing it, and it becomes fragmented, the Rune of Death. So now all the Golden Order, even though they rule the land, they're kind of vulnerable at this point. So the Golden Order could be killed. So Merica shatters the Elden Ring into 7 pieces, we think, called the Great Runes. They're held by... And then in the last episode, we went over everyone who held a piece of the Great Rune at the end. We didn't linger on them, but we talked about them. Godrick the Grafted, the jumped up Country Bumpkin.
Country Bumpkin.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Rennala, Queen of the Full Moon. Star Scourge Radon. Morgott, the Omen King. Rykard, Lord of Blasphemy, Moog, Lord of Blood, and finally the topic for today, Melania, the Blade of Mikaela.
Right.
Yeah. So all of the ones who have a great rune also happen to be bosses. Go figure. Yeah, exactly. So that brings us up to speed. It turns out that you can do a Lore Boys entire episode in about 5 minutes, but don't let anybody else know that.
I like one of the things I found out between episodes, which I guess we won't cover now because you just kind of like blew past Ranni there, is the fact that Merica transformed herself into her own husband, got a different woman pregnant, and then ditched her. So it's like she transformed into a guy just to be a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting plot point.
Yeah.
But a deadbeat dad to herself. She was going through a divorce. I mean, you got to forgive her a bit, no?
That's true. Okay. Yeah,
that's why
that's
I
a
said...
woman under siege.
That's why I said if you have one Christmas instead of two, it's better because everyone's divorced. No marriage lasts in this. There's like, I'm looking at the family tree and every single one of them breaks.
Do you think she's using alimony payments to herself to like launder money? Where she's got a fake husband.
Yeah.
Are you saying Elden Ring is just one divorce lawyer's wet dream come manifest in video game form?
I am. Yes, exactly.
Yes. So the first marriage is Godfrey and Merica. So Godfrey is like the lion dude, and Merica is the person who was blessed with the Elden Ring first. They have all these kids. Godwin, Godrick, Godfroy, Morgott, and Moog. We'll talk about Moog today, but none of the others. And then Marika split up with Godfrey and segmented herself into two halves, Marika and Radragon. Marika and Radragon had two kids, named Melania and Mikella, who are the subject for today. And then Radragon also married Renala, the Queen of the Moon, and had Rani, Rena, who are the same person, Radon, and Rikard. Okay.
Yeah. It's hard to follow. And I know that you fight like some bosses twice where like Morgott and Margit are the same guy too, but it does seem like some of these bosses got like caught in a lie. And it's just like, hey, what's your name? It's like, Margit. And then
and then Shaggy, and then, not Shaggy, sorry, but Fred comes up, and he goes, no, let's see who's really behind this. And he pulls the head off, and it's always old Ben Jenkins, the janitor.
Yeah. Who was, you know.
The end result's like about 13 or 14 demigods, or 12, depending on who you ask and how it happens. But, and all these demigods kind of, well, anyway, let's just hop into it. Marika and Radragon, they're both the same entity. The details on how Marika and Radragon split themselves, not clear, not mentioned in game. Maybe we'll get some clarity on it later.
I'm going to assume it's magic, but maybe it'll be explained in the DLC.
Maybe.
I'm honestly, and this is like a bit of shop talk that we were doing before, I'm like really okay with them leaving it vague. Like I do kind of like that in exploratory storytelling, which FromSoft is very, very much is, right? Where it's just like, you can leave it blank and let the listeners, let the players, let whoever just kind of fill in those gaps however they want. I like love the idea of this like all powerful demigod who can just like shift forms and, you know, has sown. So I'm going to assume we're going to find out has sown some chaos by begetting different people with different husbands and wives, one of whom is themselves.
Yeah. Mostly we're going to focus on the consequences of mating with yourself as a male and female form.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Great. Tale of
masturbation.
Yeah. Like that's why like obviously the boss Melania has that mechanical arm is because she had one hairy palm that cut off. Masturbating too much. Yeah.
It was cut off your hairy palm or go blind. You know, those are your choices. And she chose sight. So when you see Radagon, she's always wearing that like she's wearing a blindfold basically, and it's because in that form has both her hands.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Precisely. And it's funny that you mentioned this because you mentioned that I don't like Mass Effect Andromeda at the top of the show. Mass Effect and Halo are two series that have like bent over backwards and like pulverized their spines. They're trying to bend over backwards so hard to explain everything. And it's insufferable. Like, it's like, you want to know what Prothean is? He's here. You shake his hand. He's a crab with a Jamaican accent, actually. It's just like, okay, cool. Whereas, like, the Souls games very much are just like, how'd she marry herself by turning into a man? I don't know.
I'll never know, but a hint is Jamaican crabs are involved.
the steel drum flourish from under the sea.
And the game's like, as time goes on, people are still discovering stuff, too. So what I present now, you're obviously going to be listening in the future. Some of the stuff might change a little bit from time to time, but as of basically June 2022, this is how things stand. So Marika and Radragon, they have a kid, right? And Melania and Mikella, since they're both from one god, technically two halves of the same god, are considered Empyreans. And we talked about that off the top, right? So Empyreans and Elden Ring, born of a single god. Empyreans are...
So are these the only Empyreans then? Just looking at this rough sketch family tree.
So technically Rani is also an Empyrean, but we don't know why yet because it was born from two gods. But sometimes from two gods, you become an Empyrean. Melina is also born from Marika and only from Marika, but I don't know much about Melina. I think that's the girl who shows up at the like third bonfire you see, but don't quote me on that because I didn't research that today.
But it is really hard to look at basically a family square, and the ones next to each other are Melina and Melania, and Yeah, I can see how that your eyes might glaze over looking at all those the exact same words.
Yeah.
It's like all these people are like a fake Twitter account impersonating someone else by like having a capital L in the middle of their name.
These are our most eligible Empyreans, though. Millennia and Mikella. Like if you had to,
I did a quick Google for Melina. It does seem like she is the guide at the bonfire. She's the one that lets you level up. She's the one that lets you teleport.
Oh, she's the maiden.
That's what I
thought. Yeah, from her, I can play the role of maiden, turning rune fragments into strength to aid you in your search for the Elden Ring. You need only take me with you.
Cool.
So it does seem like the Deus Ex Machina of the game in a sense. Right. Literally the Empyrean Ex Machina.
Yeah. And there's, I might delve more into her another time. But for now, the two Empyreans that we know, Millennia and, Mikella. There we go.
Hey, Macarena.
So the Empyreans, they're also supposed to be the only ones who are truly capable of containing the Elden Ring. So from that, we can assume Godfrey and Marika are both Empyreans. Although we don't know America's parents, we don't know Godfrey's parents. See, I know on this chart it points to two people above America, but if you look at a different chart, it has a different point too. Like, really, it's a mystery.
The fact that, for the listeners, Inside Baseball here, is we got the same family tree this time, and I have to assume there's probably a lot of different, like, speculative family trees out there for this game, so I'm not taking the lines with too much without a grain of salt, I guess.
That's what you should. And chances are, if you're looking at one, you have a different one than we do. The one that I'm looking at has a complete white background and everything's just typed in black with there's some dotted lines, one red line, one purple line, and a few green lines. So
subscribe on Patreon and it'll be included in the script. Right, Jamie?
That's right.
There you go.
And but I was looking at a few different family trees just for my own reference today, and you'll get a different one depending on where you look. But What we can make our best guess at is what we'll be presenting today. And Empyreans, so they're only ones who can contain the Elden Ring. They can also become vessels of outer gods. And we didn't talk too much about outer gods the last time. There's three.
I don't remember anything about them, so.
Yeah, there's only three confirmed ones. One that we talked about is not the Order. I didn't actually write this down because
got the Frenzied Flame, got the Formless Mother, and the Sealed God of Scarlet Rot.
Those are the three, and then the fourth one is the one that sent the Elden Ring down, which
that's the Higher Will?
The Greater Will, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, the Greater Will. This is the Wikipedia page, elderring.wiki.fextralife.com.
I have this, and this is where we're going with it. So, the Frenzied Flame we'll talk a tiny bit about today. The Formless Mother we'll gloss over with Moog. And the Sealed God of Scarlet Rot, that is something we'll be talking a lot more about today.
Great names, though. You got to admit, great name.
Yeah. So being born from two halves of the same god comes with some issues, though. Not enough broad enough gene pool in the godhood or something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Nicola had one tiny black shriveled testicle.
They all have very pronounced overdrawn chins, essentially, and sloping foreheads, and very large Vitruvian noses.
Yeah. So they were born with each had a curse. Millennia was cursed to keep Scarlet Rot within her. So Scarlet Rot's a damage over time status effect in the game. It's also the aspect of the Sealed God of the Scarlet Rot that we never meet in game. But
I mean,
yeah.
The fact that it's the Scarlet Rot is sealed within a god makes me draw parallels to the Sealed God of Scarlet Rot, right?
Yeah. And they're demigods at this point, but
It seems to like physically manifest as like a lotus made of like red hair, basically. Like, I've seen the boss fight, it's very cool looking.
Yeah. And that's within her. Yeah. Whenever that's only very extreme circumstances that you'll ever see that lotus. But normally, the way that it manifests is she loses limbs and loses her eyesight and has to
continually like get prosthetics made for her. It's not as cool. Okay, as you
so she's got hairy palms with red hair coming out of the palms, and she lost her accent for it because she wouldn't cut them off. Yeah.
She just wouldn't stop masturbating. For the record, I know sometimes the context of some of these older references are lost on people, and like even from like our parents' age that they have made fun of is just like there was the old myth that masturbation would make you go blind and or give you hairy palms.
Yeah.
Just so a little bit of sex negative.
Like hairy palms is actually like a distant ancestor of Ethan Palmer. But
oh yes, of course.
Hairy palms. Yeah, they dropped the mer because they're not mer folk. So. I will say two things. Sex negative lore would be a great lore topic someday.
Okay.
And also, I mean, scarlet rot could be menstruation when, you know, a young woman would start to potentially masturbate. So
I thought, oh yeah, dude, nuns would be all over calling it that any day.
Scarlet rot. You've got scarlet rot in you.
I thought we were coming off of the Tom Clancy episode. I thought you guys were going to go the commie route with the scarlet rot, but
anyway. Okay.
Oh no, no.
Yeah, you know how this the listeners who've been here for a while will know how this show goes. It's only menstruation now, basically.
Yeah.
So jerk off and period jokes from here on out, folks.
Yeah,
and maybe
we've got Tommy's on the ropes. We're gonna give him a little break here.
Yeah. Maybe keep the sex jokes down because Mikolo is also cursed, but to eternal childhood.
So, oh
yeah.
Well,
he's anime boy.
Kami.
Yeah.
I sent you guys a picture of them together in a statue that you can find the statue in game, and it has Mikola, a fully grown adult woman without an arm because scarlet rot ate it away, hugging her infant brother, but not really her childhood brother, but he's not really a child, he's grown up but in a child's body. Yeah,
cool, right? Yeah, just like many a waifu, so don't think about it.
So just so the listeners know, the way that we're going to handle this is Melania and Mikella kind of split up over time, but we're going to cover what we covered the last time, basically like leading up to the shattering, what happened after the shattering leading into the game now. And first we're going to follow Melania's timeline through that, and then we're going to switch back to Mikella's timeline and kind of how they meet up and where they meet up and how things finish off in your grand battle with Melania. So it's a really cool fight. It's probably the hardest fight in the game. I'd be willing to bet that there's a few people who are listening who haven't managed to beat her yet.
Is that the let me solo her one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I've heard that she is the hardest fight in like the genre, at least from Software. I have not finished Neo 2, and I know Neo 1 was a lot more difficult, at least for me, than any Souls game, Bloodborne included. But I've heard that Melania is like the hardest one between like all three Dark Souls, Bloodborne, and Sekiro.
Her fight is like our climax. I'm not going to go over her move sets and stuff, but fighting her is like the climax of this story that we're talking about. So we will get to it.
So
it's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe before we get to the fight, knowing that it's super difficult just because it sounds like Jamie doesn't know who the let me solo her guy is.
I don't.
But he's like he's a guy who's obviously good at Souls games. He wears no armor, no clothes. He just wears a big jar on his head.
Yeah, it's like
he
has a cauldron.
He has a big hammer, and he like all he does is set up and drop his summon sign outside of this boss fight, and his name is Let Me Solo Her, and then he'll just beat the boss for you. Basically, I guess if you're lucky enough to like, come across his summon sign, and he just like he got a little bit internet famous where he was just like he was the Let Me Solo Her guy because he would just like try it. And there's a lot of the classic pick from like JoJo, like, oh, you're approaching me or whatever, where it's like the guy wreathed in flames, but it's like that guy in the cauldron hat, like walking up to Melania, basically.
Yeah, Moon, a Twitch streamer I really enjoy. He's just like an old fashioned gamer. He beat the game from start to finish with nothing but this like naked level one all the way through. And not like someone who's really great at Souls games. Like he just came in and just grinded his way through it, like probably spent 3 8-hour days on Millennia, like just trying to get it down, kind of thing. And like a lot of respect. Yeah.
I did the same thing for the Nameless King in Dark Souls 3, who was like the notoriously hard boss of that
game.
That boss was so hard, man. I needed to farm sunlight. I needed to farm sunlight metals, and I know people had trouble with it, but like I had a really good lightning build, so you could kill his dragon in like 2 hits and then just like trade aggro with the boss. So I got like, I did him like 35 times to get like the best miracle from cashing all those in. So I'm nowhere near that good, but I definitely I understand being like a charity summon, because it's like a very nice feeling to do that.
I was pure strength build with a Dragonbone club against Nameless King, and boy, let me tell you, it was rough.
Cool. So let's start with Millennia's storyline, and then we'll get to Mikaela like after the break, kind of thing. So while you were off listening to the lore podcasts, Millennia studied the blade.
Okay.
Yeah. Mostly to protect herself and her brother. Like, she was the able-bodied one, even though she was kind of losing arms and stuff like that compared to her.
So she's the waifu weeaboo.
Yep. She has like a big long katana too in the actual fight. So
I would trust an adult woman with one arm way more than I would trust a child to defend me. So I think it's a perfectly fair trade-off, right?
And she is a demigod, and she has like, we'll get to them later, but like followers who make her prosthetics and stuff. So she's never actually like without a limb.
Right.
Okay. So just to frame the timeline, I guess, for myself, she's born of Merica and Radagon.
Yeah.
You said her and Mikaela are gonna like go their separate ways at some point. Are they still like, are we still a happy family, like a nuclear family now?
We start off together. This is pre-shattering. They're born, and we're gonna go through every step of the way. They do leave the Golden Order, but they stay together always until the shattering. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Loreboy's canon. The children, when they were young, never suspected the fact that their parents were the same person, despite the fact that mom and dad were never in the same room at the same time.
Just mom wearing a corn cob or smoking a corn cob pipe with like a newspaper in front of her face anytime Radigan's around watching.
Yeah, it's like a ventriloquist thing.
So somewhere, somewhere in the timeline, we don't know where in the timeline, but this could be found in a talisman's description in the game. Millennia met and trained with a blind swordsman who legendarily, like, we don't know if it's true, sealed away the outer god of Scarlet Rot. So he's the reason that the Scarlet Rot god is sealed.
Is his name Stick?
He doesn't have a name, but...
Okay, it's Stick.
It could be Stick. Okay. So we don't know much about the Outer God. Like I said, all these Outer Gods don't actually appear in the games. They just influence the games in some way, or influence the people. Like we said, Empyreans too can be... they're the only ones that that Outer Gods can turn into vessels too. So it's a very good chance that Millennia is a vessel of this Outer God of Scarlet Rot.
Okay.
So we don't know much about like the Outer God. We know that it's sealed away. We know it's sealed because of the description for Scorpion Stinger, which is a dagger in game. And there's shrines found deep underground, like near pools of Scarlet Rot, of some it doesn't look like humanoid. It doesn't look like anything. It's like weird, like tentacly, like mushroomy.
Lovecraftian, I guess is descriptor.
Mushrooms can be crafted into cures for Scarlet Rot, so some followers of the Scarlet Rot will wear mushrooms as part of their armor. Just a little flavor thing here.
Joe Rogan, sure, eat your heart out.
Yeah,
they're showing off their mushroom tips. I gotcha.
Yeah. So this blind swordsman that we mentioned before, which we called Stick, I guess, it became Millennia's master and trained her to become a warrior that could win any sword fight. By the time you meet her, she says like, "It's time to fight. I've never lost before." Something around that. Like, not exactly.
What an idiot. I just wouldn't bring a sword. What a dummy. God.
That's smart.
There's me with my wet noodle going to kill this.
Like the Eowyn, like grammar defeat of the Witch King. It's like, exactly. I am no man.
No man. Yeah. No sword, idiot. Stop beating. Stop killing me, okay? It's not a sword. I brought a stapler. Jeez, he beats.
So yeah, Scarlet Rot, you'll see mushrooms a lot of the time. You'll see also Aeonian butterflies, these beautiful little butterflies that fly around. There's also these like bug type creatures that apparently are intelligent, but a human could never understand the way that it's intelligent kind of thing. Like they're just...
Then we must destroy them, clearly.
Yeah, and you do in the game. You just beat the shit out of them. Yeah.
Them and the dolphins.
I don't fucking speak English. What am I supposed to do?
So back to the blind swordsman. Based on how he's described, he has blue flowing robes. He fights like water flows. The warrior class that you can choose in character creation, Loreboy's canon probably is from the same tribe, because the warrior in character creation for Elden Ring is also wearing like blue flowing robes and things like that.
I buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same tribe or styled after him, perhaps. So do we? I don't want to jump ahead here, but do we find out who this mysterious swordsman is at any point, or do they remain enigmatic?
They remain enigmatic. They're like from the distant past. Nobody knows where they are anymore.
Lost to the annals of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can get a sword in the game called the Flowing Curved Sword. And if you use a special moveset, it actually really looks like Malenia's boss moves in the first phase where she's using her sword.
That's an easy lore boys canon right there.
Yeah.
Secretary, gets a stamp on it, please.
And actually, it doesn't even need to be lore boys. It's just canon because in the description, it mentions the sword master and stuff like that in the Flowing Curved Sword.
Does it mention him by name, this guy without a name? I don't think so. It's lore boys canon. Secretary, please remove that official canon descriptor. We're going to add the lore boys canon on top of it, please.
Right away, Mr. Palmer.
It'd be so funny if, like, in the lore description, because, you know, like, some of them have, like, it's like a quote, like, on a magic card, like, who said it, and, like, on the Flowing Curved Greatsword or whatever, it's just, like, quote, Ethan Palmer.
Somebody mod that. The only mod I want in Elden Ring is just that one mod that changed that one quote to quote me.
Make your game crash every time. Yeah. It'll
be our version of the Stardew Valley, like, changing grandpa's bed mod.
That was a meme. I see Pete was confused. There was a time on the Stardew subreddit where everybody changed, it's Stardew Valley, except Grandpa is the bed. Stardew Valley, except we fix Grandpa's bed.
When you start the game, the game starts, like, you get a letter from your grandpa who says, you've inherited the farm from me, basically. Like, here's, you can have my farm. And it shows just, like a picture of him sleeping in bed with his nightcap on, basically. And, like, a lot of mods came out where we're just like grandpa's bed, but slightly worse. And they just removed like one leg off the bed. So it was like all tilty,
just like completely
is the bed. So he was just like, was the bed with his head poking at the top, like
no impact on gameplay, probably something you see 20 seconds in a save file. That'll probably take you 100 hours. Yeah.
100 hours. Yeah. Easy. You see once, then you're like, why am I going to restart the game? Unless I'm doing the JoJo storyline now, or JoJo storyline now. Right.
That's beautiful.
So why Malenia is so hard to beat? She trained with this sword master with water-like movement long time ago and became even better than him, kind of thing. But back to Malenia,
I shouldn't have brought a sword with fire-like movement. God damn it!
Malenia, grass swordsman with like just like wobbly blade.
Malenia and Mikella, they're very, very close. So Malenia acts as the brother's guardian, and Mikella labored to find a cure for both of their curses. So Mikella couldn't find a solution for his sister, but he was able to stop the spread of Scarlet Rot with a needle of unalloyed gold, which I know gold is not alloyed in real life, but that's what they call it in the game.
So, yeah. I think if it lowers the carat, like my cross that I wear and my ring are 14 carat, which I think it means it's mixed with other stuff. Unalloyed would be like Hundo P periodic table AU, basically, right?
Yeah, and it's gold in order. It's probably the greater I'm forgetting the name of it again.
So the greater alloyed gold, the greater alloyed gold just means like pure gold, which is like almost unheard of. So like 22 karat yellow gold is apparently 91.67% gold. And then the rest is silver, copper, and zinc. So this is just like pure, pure, pure gold. And gold is the reason gold is so valuable is because it's shiny. But also why it's so valuable in electronics is because it's non-reactive. So it doesn't corrode. It doesn't rust. Yeah. It doesn't do anything because it doesn't really react with other things.
Yeah, it doesn't
scarlet. It doesn't scarlet rot.
That's why I don't have any. Yeah. I don't take this off when I shower. No, no corrosion whatsoever, baby.
Yeah, Pete's crucifix keeps the athlete's foot away.
Yeah. I still got two hands.
Yeah. So he wanted to get rid of her scarlet rot forever. He couldn't, but he was basically with this needle was able to keep it at bay. So just keep it inside herself. And Melania's like whole existence from birth until now is just attempting to like suppress this scarlet rot, and it's still leaking out of her in certain ways. So this kind of like stopped the leaking and just let her kind of relax for a little bit, which is she was very thankful for.
Can you imagine if the new Pixar movie Turning Red was about the little girl in Toronto trying to contain the scarlet rot, but instead of turning into like a snuggly panda, she just like oozed out a corrosive red liquid and boiled her classmates to death.
Melania, being a demigod and full of scarlet rot, attracted the attention of almost like a cult called the Children of Rot. They're like a group, an in-game faction that worship her. But she turns away from them, and they make that part of their own like religion canon. Like, our goddess has turned away from us, but...
what did we do wrong? When she's just like, no, actually, I feel very ill. Please don't worship me.
Yeah, we didn't get sick enough for her, fellas. Let's all cough and joke. Let's not wear masks to the supermarket because it infringes on our rights, okay?
The needle of unalloyed...
one of the prosthetics that they make, she's got like the mechanical arm with the sword and like a golden N95 that she puts on.
Yeah, the gold, the needle of unallied gold is actually in the game, and you can do a side quest with Children of Rot. They're one of the factions. There's six endings. You can work with them and one of what was his name? Let me just look at.
It's demoralizing that this 900-hour game has six fucking endings.
Yeah, Millicent. So Melania actually ends up having a bunch of kids. Millicent is her firstborn, and if you do his quest line, you can get this needle and we'll talk a little bit more about it later, but I'm not really covering the quest lines as much as just the lore. Yeah. So yeah, they thought they were abandoned, but the scarlet rot still eats away at Melania. It took her eyes and some limbs that I mentioned before, and the house Marais, M-A-R-A-I-S, worshipped her and helped her by creating prosthetics. That you see by the time you meet her in game. She has like a leg that's on. She has like a discarded arm when you meet her. She also wore gauntlets of gold to help contain the rot. And you can actually get and wear these items in the game. So coming up on the Shattering. So you remember this. This is after the Rune of Death. Merica and... the first son, they're both in trouble. The first son dies. Merica splits the Elden Ring. So that's the mother of the twins here. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not even sure they're twins, but the siblings. I think they're just siblings. Yeah, they never said twins. Never said twins.
Sure. We assume twins.
Lore Boys canon.
Yeah.
They're twins.
So each
twins,
sibling...
Twins, Basil.
Each sibling receives a shard of the Elden Ring. Mikella's is never found in-game. And I have a Lore Boys canon that the DLC is going to be about Mikella. More on that later. I really think it's going to be.
This is like a Lore Boys prediction. Yeah. Right?
That's an interesting prediction because I would... Just a quick counterpoint on all the FromSoft DLC.
Yeah.
None of it has ever been relevant to anything that has been in the base game.
There's
a weird time to start now. Because there was a ton of shit in like Dark Souls 3, and Dark Souls 2 is all new, right? They just added like more stuff there. Dark Souls 1, they had more stuff, and like Bloodborne is all new characters, and like even like Dark Souls 3's like final DLC ending is just some new guy they introduced in the DLC. He's not
if they
from the game
don't
and
make
he's
it
a dick.
If they don't, well, Mikela's like not a boss or anything. He's just a character in the lore. Like, if they don't make him the part of the DLC, they should, and I have a really good reason why. And okay. I would be confident getting into like a conference room with FromSoft and being like, "This is why you should do it. This is why the fans would love it."
James got his little easel with his poster board on it.
Yeah, your collapsible like, roughly... pointing wand.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And my laser pointer that I use backwards and like blind myself.
First time pitch, guys. I'm sorry.
So Elden Ring Shattered, every sibling received the shard that I mentioned before. I didn't mention Mikela received one, but he does receive one that we never find in game.
Okay.
But it is mentioned that he does get one. So.
Oh, hence why it would be a good idea for DLC. Cause...
Point one for my argument, but there's more. Yes,
you've left something on the table, FromSoft. Surely you'd be smart enough to realize you should just use that, which is already there, to draw more lines and more plots. But we'll see.
All right, so click next slide.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have to get to Mikela's POV to really see why he would be such an excellent character. But for now, we'll
pin in that.
Put a pin in it. Exactly.
An unalloyed pin in that note. There.
Yeah. Lore Boys canon branded
pin. So for now, Mikela's in the background and busy, but while the shattering's going on, but Melania leads an army south while her brother stays where he is. So Melania wins battle after battle, one of which she bested Godric the Grafted, our shard bearing jumped up country bumpkin.
But he's a punk, right? Like he was like the weak boss. He's like the first boss or whatever.
Yeah, remember like how he made he grafts a bunch of limbs to his body, and he like when you beat him, there's like a servant who's stomping on his head, and
oh, really?
Yeah, I mentioned it
Holy
the last
shit.
Time too. Yeah,
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Someone actually, I think it was Flowiken, maybe I'm wrong, but someone posted a screenshot of them finding that and then into our Discord.
Okay.
Yeah. So he begged, Godric the Grafted begged at Melania's feet for mercy and somehow received it and was able to keep his fragment of the Elden Ring.
But... No, Dami Mami, I'm so sorry.
please, I'll stay in chastity if I could just keep a piece of the Elden Ring.
Please don't step on me with your prosthetic bare golden foot that you wear.
Godric the Grafted also escaped the castle wearing women's clothes with the women and children, I'm pretty sure. Like, he was...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's the best way to like dodge a draft, honestly.
So on the journey, she gains a reputation because she's just winning all of her battles. She gets followers that end up being called the Clean Rot Knights, who are pretty fucking cool because they worship her as a goddess, and to worship her, they take the Scarlet Rot within themselves, and they make them fight. It makes them fight with like no concern for their own lives whatsoever. It's basically like fighting like the undead or something like that in like the World of Warcraft, where you could just like pick someone up. But like, I don't think they res like from the dead, but they just are basically not quite living because they're completely rotted out. And you get to fight them in the game. They're pretty strong. Yeah. But the last major demigod battle. Because right now she's just like fighting all her siblings trying to take the land during the shattering. But the last major demigod battle before we get to join the game is the Tarnished. Melania faces off with her capable half-brother Radahn in the Caelid Wilds.
Big guy, little horse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to gravity magic school just so he could ride his little horse, even though he
was
so
horse.
Big.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he outgrew his little horse, and they were still best friends, and he wanted to ride his little horse, so he went to gravity school.
Yeah.
Did you mention the horse's name in the last one? Because I heard it recently.
No, I'm not sure the horse's name. Feel free to check it out. Radahn is R-A-D.
The model is like tagged as Leonard. So the horse's name is like the model package within the files is tagged like
that's
is like
cute.
Dot Leonard or whatever.
That's
his name.
I knew
Lenny,
you would
know. Lenny the tiny horse.
I expected you to bring it up. I was like, mention horse if Pete doesn't in my script.
Yeah. Hey, I brought up the horse.
You did.
Give me a bit of credit here.
Pete
on.
Brought it up the last time, I guess, but you remember. Yeah.
It was the only trivia, like the only good trivia I had at that time. Cause I still haven't played the game, but like the videos weren't out and you didn't tell me about it. So,
So Radahn is actually kind of winning this battle against his half-sister. So Malenia is kind of losing the upper hand. Radahn's winning. They're like really the strongest siblings at this point. So as a last-ditch effort, this is kind of what Pete mentioned that he saw. Malenia
swapped off her sword arm for her prosthetic upper hand.
No, Malenia released all that she held back since birth. Like, just everything came flowing out of her. She blossoms as, like, a sickly flower and devastates Caelid and her half-brother's army and her brother like a poison nuke. Like, if you go to Caelid in the game, it's a rotten red wasteland, and it became that way because of this war and her just exploding to win, basically. And Radahn also, by the time we meet him... at this point, before the explosion, he kind of had his wits about him. But by the time we meet him, he's wandering the battlefield, completely lost his mind. He has the Scarlet Rot, and he's feasting on the bodies of friends and foes alike. So this completely leaves her half-brother in the way that we end up meeting him in game two.
And this is why I'm convinced that it is menstruation, because we know if men... had to deal with menstruation, like they just freak out, they'd be like killing people left and right, friend and foe, would be able to tell them apart. There's no way to be able to handle it, so I wouldn't be able to handle it. My god
Yeah, because like it's like fuck me, man, like I get like hungry, my stomach cramps up a bit and I get very irritable.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all pissed off, don't talk to me, come on, just leave me alone, you know, like... Yeah, absolutely, absolutely wouldn't be able to deal with Scarlet Rot coming out of my junk once a month.
Hell no.
Yeah. So next time you're in the Caelid Waste, like just take or the just Caelid, just take a look around and realize that this is like complete fallout from a poison bomb.
Realize you're actually playing the Fallout of Dark Souls games.
Yeah.
That's true. That headline's free, guys. Just take it.
That's a good episode title right there. Malenia was left in a coma. She's never let the Scarlet Rot take hold of her, like, completely like this before. And luckily she had a clean rot knight named Finlay, who brought her back to where she left Mikaela, at the Halig Tree. So what's the Halig Tree? What's Mikaela been up to? Let's find out more about this after the break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome back. I hope that ad was good. So
Jamie?
Yeah?
Jamie, I wasn't really listening to the first half. Do you think you could do it again? start to finish?
I could probably condense it and tell you the whole thing in like 2 minutes. But I'll encourage you just to go back and listen to it after the show.
Okay.
What was that ad about?
Mommy turned into a nuke is the, the one sentence spiel, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Malenia, she... well, I don't have to re-go over it. You're making me think I do. Okay.
They just let the listeners just listen to this.
Yeah.
Getting Jamie to take you seriously all of a sudden. What the fuck?
So time to talk about the Brothers arc. So that's Mikaela's story arc, how it intersects with Malenia and the Shattering. But like Malenia, we'll start from way at the beginning before the Shattering. So you remember Malenia had the rot. Do you remember what Mikaela's curse was?
He was a little boy.
He's a boy. Which I was thinking about this for a while now, and maybe looking at the family tree made me think more about it, but hasn't sired any offspring, which is maybe like the more accurate curse. Like, you'll never have people to defend you or carry on your name and should something happen to you. Because you talked earlier about Merica and Godfrey, like, deciding that to have kids to found this, like, cult of the Golden Order or whatever, to protect the Golden Order if something should happen to them. And, like, the real curse with Mikella might be, like, you can never have that. You'll never have those, like, de facto allies, right?
Yeah, and it also has to do, like, that's true, yeah. I never even thought about that. So that is a good point, because Melania does have kids and he doesn't.
Melania's got five. Yeah. She doesn't even give any to her brother.
Yeah.
Gosh, selfish.
And
give a kid to your baby brother.
Yeah.
Radagon shows up like Melania Cher from behind his newspaper.
From his newspaper. Yeah. It would be funny if, like, in that like sitcom that we've thought up, like, one of the running gags is that every time it smash cuts to Radagon, the newspaper headline is always different, but is like hinting at something that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we should write a sitcom. We'll write the Elden Ring sitcom.
Oh, crunch at us, crunch at us, George.
It'll be the Dark Souls of sitcoms.
Yeah, it will. Well, yeah, because it's like Full House. It's like Full House, and like the Full House order, where like Mary Kate is obviously has her prosthetic arm, and Ashley is cursed with being young forever.
Yeah.
House Full of the Golden Rot, or whatever was the original title for Full House.
Yeah. It's kind of implied too that he can never reach his like full god. He can't ascend from demigod to full on god as an Empyrean unless he can grow up.
Oh no, yeah, puberty.
He can never get his driver's license.
Yeah, that's
right. He's got to walk around the friggin' lands between, man. Yeah. Can't even cruise.
And his legs are half the length of yours.
Exactly, it takes twice the steps. Gosh,
can he get a scooter when is he 16? Can he get like a little like a gas powered scooter?
Is the lands between Quebec?
Is the lands between Quebec is my question? Yes,
there it's, no, it's 14 in Quebec, right? To get a scooter, it's 16 to get your driver's license.
Yeah, the only vehicles in game are towed by like weird troll looking guys or horses. I don't think we have
horses vehicles. Are feet vehicles?
Oh,
I don't know. I feel like a chip is a vehicle to get salsa in my mouth. So I feel like
a utensil.
Okay. Edible utensils.
Yeah. They go green, dude. Like it. Okay. If you go to a fancy restaurant and you have like the elegantly folded like silk napkin around like three different like tortilla utensils, that'd be pretty good, right?
Imagine, yeah, you eat some spaghetti and it's a garlic bread fork. Oh, baby.
Oh, hell yeah!
Oh my god!
Patent pending.
Okay. You need like 20 garlic bread forks, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, the Olive Garden, the breadsticks are all just like different utensils now.
Every bite, you kind of lose the ability to get more spaghetti, right?
Yeah.
It's
or it's like a paper straw where it just like deteriorates way too fast, right?
Yeah.
That's how I eat my garlic bread. I just suck the garlic butter off the bread and throw the bread away.
A paper straw.
So I'm thinking about the logistics of this. I think you'd have to get like a breadstick and it would alternate between like the fork lines and then full on breadstick, fork lines, full on breadstick. So you're
like a million mini forks all like linked together.
Yeah.
Like
tied
ass to mouth.
So every time you take a bite, you're taking off one fork bit and one bit, right? So then the next bite also has a fork on it. And you kind of get to the nubs by the end, but that's when you have like a little dip and then you eat the edge of it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
But then you get the kid in class who like his parents refused to buy more pencils and just had a pencil that was like an inch long that he kept sharpening down.
It's just like the aluminum eraser bit with no eraser left, and then just like the pale part of the pencil.
And you have like for your bones or whatever. There's like a breadstick ashtray in the middle of the table that everyone kind of snuffs out the end of their breadsticks on.
Why not just eat it?
You've been using your hand. I guess you can use your hands on things.
What? Do you eat your breadstick? Your hard breadstick with a fork?
No. I won't eat that. It's touched my hands. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like you're holding it like a breadstick. You like chew down to the nub and like where do you discard it now?
Hey, the reason why I don't trust my hands to touch my mouth is between me and God. Okay, fine. It's not to be aired on a podcast.
I really want to try and bake like what I'm thinking of this breadstick of like alternating bits of forks, because I think I could.
You need to really bake it kind of like a pretzel, right? Like it need to be stiff.
No yeast. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need like a linked
hardtack.
You need like a linked tin, like kind of like, you know, like the blacksmithing thing where they make a bunch of swords and they all kind of flow together. You'd need that for bread with like the little, like a tapered bit in the middle where you could get the snap and then.
A bread mold.
The most ridiculous thing we've talked about recently.
I'm cutting all of this. This is gold. This is unalloyed gold.
Okay, yeah, this doesn't go to the listeners, okay? This is Lore Boys cafeteria franchise that's opening up in a city sometime soon that we can't announce yet, okay?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm back
to... BoysCon to be hosted in the player room of this restaurant.
Yeah. We're coming up on an hour and we haven't even talked about Mikula, so I'm going to hop into Mikula here. Okay. Yeah. We're 10 minutes from now. We're okay. So one thing I didn't mention before, Melania saw her brother as the most fearsome of all the Empyreans that exist, whether some people are Empyreans or not. And she thought that he was going to be the next ruling god, which is why she became his protector. But even though Mikula has the appearance of a child, he has a silver tongue. So it's kind of unclear as if he actually is the most powerful, or he's just the best car salesman in the lands between.
Yeah, he's the world's best snake oil salesman.
Slaps roof of Melania. She can win so many sword fights.
You can fit so many one sword fights via water techniques in this bad boy.
Since he was an Empyrean, he was selected by Two Fingers. So these are like the weird two hairy fingers that you meet in the game. He was going... Mikula was supposed to be Merica's successor if he were to stay with the Golden Order. I'm not going to talk about who Two Fingers is and where he plays into everything. That could be another one of my five episodes. But
please do another episode, because now I'm like, I just want to know who the fuck Two Fingers. I don't even want to play the game anymore. I just want to listen to you tell me about it. So.
Two Fingers kind of teaches, like, Two Fingers keeps choosing like the next one to be the successor is all I know. I don't want to look it up yet because I think we could really dive into a whole episode. But I know that at one point Two Fingers asks Mikula to be the successor to Merica. I know that he asks Rani to be the successor of Merica, who is the daughter of the Moon Queen and the male form of Merica.
Yeah, and Rinala Radagon.
Exactly, who stole the death thing. But Two Fingers liked her before the whole death fiasco.
Liked her before she was goth.
Yeah, and then Two Fingers also selects you, the Tarnished One, to be the next Elden Lord.
Me?
In the game, Two Fingers gives you his faith, but...
In the game, not in the podcast. Okay, I get it.
Sorry, man. Anyways, have to play it.
Two Fingers, I don't even know the full Two Fingers story. We'll get into it another day. I'm liking Elden Ring more and more, so I think we there's a good chance we do talk about him. But,
yeah. Nice.
Mikula found out that the Golden Order couldn't save his sister from the Scarlet Rot, so he's like, deuces, and threw up Two Fingers and left.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't write that in. That just happened by accident. I'm sorry.
And he'll prove it to the patrons when the script comes out on Thursday?
Friday. So he left the Order. Him and his sister, they go up north. And they're like, we're going to go start a new life. We don't need the Golden Order. Our mom and dad, like, we've never even seen them have dinner together. Let's just get out of here. Yeah, Dad always finishes his breadsticks before I can finish my spaghetti and all
that. Yeah, exactly.
they're like gonna go up north and you've got like Melania chopping lumber with her like big buff arm that's got like an axe on it so she can chop wood.
Yeah.
Yep.
I imagine her as like Silver from Treasure Planet, where she just has a bunch of different arms for different jobs.
Right. She very well could with the House Marais, because if you go into the House Marais, it's an area in the game. There's paintings of her up all over the place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you can find out that people love her there. So this is around the time he makes the needles of unalloyed gold that could stop the meddling of outer gods. He's like, well, if the Golden Order can't do it, I'm going to do it. Although he can't completely do it, he's on the right track. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the needles stop the meddling of outer gods. It's not just Scarlet Rot. It can stop even the Frenzied Flame, story for another episode. But Mikella's the only one that we know of in the Elden Ring universe that's been able to push back against the outer gods that we found so far. So he's very strong. Very, very strong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy invented gold.
Yeah. Pure.
And you would be pretty powerful if you were the first guy to be like, shit, gold, right?
Literal alchemy.
Gold. Holy shit, you're right, dude.
Yeah. Literal alchemy.
He kind of reminds me, since he was on the right track, he's like the guy who invented nitroglycerin who like blew himself up, and then his assistant was just like, well, maybe that's too dangerous, and he was on the right track, and we'll just make dynamite out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Alfred Nobel, you mean?
Is that who?
He invented TNT.
Did he kill himself?
I don't think so. Maybe his mentor did, who invented nitroglycerin, but the guy who invented dynamite was Alfred Nobel.
Okay.
You're thinking of the Nobel Prize. The guy invented penicillin and killed himself with penicillin, right?
That was Louis Pasteur, I think, invented penicillin. Alexander Fleming. Duh, yeah. Come on.
Famous Louis Canadian. Pasteur cleaned milk. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah, that was big. That was big, dude.
So do you guys remember the Hallig Tree I mentioned right before the break? I didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
That Melania was living in or something?
Heading back to.
Finley had brought her back there after she went all nuclear.
Exactly.
Classic woman with her scarlet rod going all
nuclear.
Let's
get you home. I like the fact that Finley's name does not start with an M or a G. That's going to be the easiest way to remember his name is the fact that it's a different letter.
Yeah. You missed it in the last episode. George R. R. Martin wrote this, or we don't know how much of the story, but parts of the story. So all of the characters have a J, R, or an M starting, which is why it's kind of sometimes confusing. But so at the time of the Shattering, I'm jumping ahead. The Hallig Tree, of course, the Hallig Tree.
Yeah. Can we back up from the Shattering for one split second to talk about the Hallig Tree, please?
So Mikella found a sapling of an Erd Tree at the city of Elphael, Elphael, and this is a place that you can go to in game. And he started watering it, not with water, but with his own blood. And this eventually grew into a great tree called the Hallig Tree. So at the time of the Shattering, Mikella embedded himself into the tree in like a cocoon form while Mikella set off south to fight. So his thing is he needs to grow into an adult before he'd be able to fully cure his sister's curse. So to become an adult, he goes into a cocoon in a tree that he's grown with his own blood.
Okay. Sis, great news, okay? Yeah. Cure for Scarlet Rot. It's a syringe of pure gold that I'm going to inject into you. Bad news. I'm cursed to be a child forever. I can't get my nursing license. So if we can solve this issue and I can grow up to be a real boy, then I can get my nursing license and then I'm allowed to legally inject you with a safe injection.
So I'm going to get into a medically induced chrysalis and become a spider or something.
Yeah. So as he's in this tree, it grows to be like super massive, huge, huge tree. It's actually a full area for exploration in game. Like you can you walk along branches and fight things, and you can climb this tree. And at the base is a city. And Mikella earns followers over time, so there's like knights all around the tree, and it's a whole zone in the game. And it's huge and it's beautiful. And this seemed to be a plan that would work. He could grow into an adult over time. It's kind of implied from the game. I didn't fact check this myself, but I think there's a place where the sap's leaking and it cures Scarlet Rot from you, the player. So it's kind of implied that his blood or the sap would have cured his sister once he was fully grown, kind of thing.
You do need a nursing license to inject somebody else with solid gold. You don't need a nursing license to inject yourself with solid gold. So does check out because he did it to himself.
He did. Yeah. So it seemed to be a plan that would work, and that he could grow into an adult over time, and he would grow in this cocoon. But unfortunately, while Millennia was away, Moog, Lord of Blood, cut into the tree and stole the cocoon while he was still a child. And Moog could use a full episode to himself, but I'll talk about how this kind of intersects our stories here. Yeah.
Well, I know we're not going to be talking about the formless mother, but Moog could probably get an episode to themselves. Am I right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I still have the wiki page up.
Yeah,
I have heard some very.
I was trying to drive you away from it. I was trying to drive you away from it earlier because I knew it had spoilers for later in the episode. Like, no, I have it. Yeah.
I caught it. Maybe 30 seconds ago. So don't worry about that. I got bored with reading the wiki again. So.
Yeah. So Moog, Lord of Blood, he cuts in the tree, takes the cocoon. It's kind of super tragic because. Probably if Moog never intervened, these siblings would have had a much happier ending, but they won't. So let's keep going on to that.
Okay. Yeah. So we got Mikella, or Millennia, sorry.
She's marching south. Yeah.
She's marching south. She's going off to war.
Yeah.
Protect her baby brother while he pupates.
Yeah.
But this guy, Moog, who we're not going to talk too much about, but son or daughter of Godfrey and Marika.
He's a stepbrother or something.
Remember two of, we talked about it last time. They had a bunch of kids and all the ones that have
God. Oh, the omens.
Yeah. They had God in the name and all the ones that had God in the name, Godfrey, Godwin, they're all cool. They get to stay in the overworld. But Moog and Morgott, they get sent to the underworld. They're born with horns. We're not going to raise these ones. These
were the hunchbacks in the belfry, basically, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly
They need Esmeralda. Jordan Peterson was writing about was the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Government Peterson. The Hunchback. Yeah, he was given the Hunchback of Notre Dame and Esmeralda, the love.
Oh, okay.
The government intervened with an Esmeralda, basically, right?
So Moog, like you said, he had gained new powers from an outer god known as the Formless Mother. So she's also known as the Mother of Truth. She craves wounds. That's about all we know from her. Moog.
He sounds chill.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not the cool mom that lets all the other kids come over and like drink in the basement when they're 15 or 16, right?
Susan for me.
Yeah. Well, maybe she is. She's like, yeah, have a drink. Go jump on the trampoline. I want some wounds.
Yeah. Hey, kids. How's the party going? Just bringing a tray of knives in. Don't go crazy.
Like Rice Krispie squares, knives. And then breadstick forks, too. It's just like the most fucked up party.
So Moog, he's not quite good enough for this formless mother. He can't be a vessel because he's not Empyrean.
Right.
So he's not. He's a dirty god, demigod who has two parents, the idiot.
He's got perfectly formed shoulders, no chips present, I'll say. not a chip in sight on those shoulders.
Yep. So he stole the child god, or god, demigod at this point, who's about to kind of blossom into a god, but hadn't quite yet because he was robbed from his tree.
It was Metapod was evolving, and you're sitting there, you're 9 years old, Metapod's evolving on your Game Boy Color, and Moog runs up and mashes B. steals your Game Boy and runs away.
Exactly. And then goes back to that dungeon that you have to use Flash because it's so dark in
Rock Tunnel,
something like that. Yeah. So he stole the child and he brings it home. And in the game, like, you can take these crazy elevators. Like literally, the elevator, it's kind of annoying how long they are. It takes like 2 minutes of going down and you go into like this underworld area. Yeah. Maybe a minute,
It's cool the first time.
Yeah.
I'll say
it is.
And then because it's a Souls game, you're going to do it 180 times.
After you get killed, it probably sucks a lot.
You're going to get killed, you're going to get lost, you're going to be like, oh, what do I got to do now? I got to go there? Okay, I guess I got to wait on this elevator again.
Luckily, they did implement fast travel, so as long as get one at the bottom and the top, you don't technically have to do it, but yeah.
Okay,
true. But it was, like, surprisingly long, like, much longer than you expect it to go. And that's where Moog lives. He's, like, down underneath the lands between. He's the land down under, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Does he have a hat? Is he a man with a hat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the men with hats are is another outer god, actually. the formless mother, the men with hats, the frenzied flame.
Yeah.
Is it men at work or men with hats? What is that bad?
I can't. I thought it was village people. I forgot, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can. It's men with hats. Men with hats. Yeah. You can dance. You can dance. Everybody, pick up a knife. That's a. This is a reference from 50 years ago, I think, at this point. So
probably, yeah.
Everyone knows that song. You were fine.
Yeah, probably.
Moog. So he takes the child and he brings. He's like, he hopes he can turn his half brother into a vessel for the formless mother, and then Moog could be a monarch who rules next to him. That's all. That's his highest goals in life, is to make his brother a king, so he can just be like, "Yeah, me too, man."
Yeah, like yeah. I know I've heard some weird trivia about Moog that I guess we'll cover more, but like just setting up some other episodes you're going to talk about in like a month or two. Moog is like really horny for his half brother, right? Like that's canon as far as I know. Is like Moog wants to fuck Mikkola.
So Moog did a lot of fucked up things to Mikkola to try and turn him into a blood god. And he never got a response or made progress. In one source I saw, it said he even tried to take the child to his bedchambers. Just doing fucked up blood god shit, like trying to wound him into waking up from the... Yeah.
Doing the cuts up blood god shit. Might be the title of this episode. Yeah. I don't know.
Because I've seen the cutscene where he, like, you've got, like, the hand coming out of the chrysalis.
We're about to get to
that.
And it,
like, flops down. And, yeah, he caresses it and, like, almost kisses it. Like, yeah. And the fact that Mikkola ends with an A, when I watched the cutscene having no context, I assumed it was his, like, cocoon bride.
No, yeah. It's the brother of our friend...
Does it make it better or worse?
Right? It's George R. R. Martin, so the creepy incest is on brand.
Yeah. So you get a cutscene, when you beat Moog in game, you get access to Mikkola's cocoon. Like you said, there's like a cutscene ahead of time where there's like an adult hand now that emerges. So it proved that if he was to stay in the cocoon, he would become an adult. And he was, by all like... ways that we can tell, he wasn't affected or didn't react to the blood god stuff, but he's also been ripped from his safe space, and a hand comes out but falls limp, not dead, still asleep.
But he was like he was a soft boiled brother, not a hard boiled brother, which is what you needed, basically.
Yeah,
his whole thing was protection from outer gods, right? Like, the fact that Moog shows up and is like, oh, but this outer god, this'll get him. What do you think there, Mikkola?
Big Looney Tunes shoulders.
Yeah.
So with, like, the sap thing that I think is true about the game, someone correct me if I'm wrong, that, like, the tree probably could have cured the sister. The fact that Mikkola actually grew up, so he beat his curse in his own way. This could have been a happy ending, but because Big Dumb Moog came and ripped him out of the tree, it kind of fucked everything up. Once Moog is defeated, another tarnish named Sir Gideon Ofnir, he's like a summoned sorcerer type person that you can get, tells you that it might be best to kill Mikkola now while he's asleep in the cocoon. So he's an adult after he's supposed to be a child forever. That's been messed with blood magic for the last while. So when he wakes up, he might not be the nice guy he used to be.
He's an adult, so it's legal. Just kill him. What are your intentions, Gideon?
Yeah. I checked the Reddit. So, there's no way to interact with the cocoon, just so you know. Like, you can't kill the cocoon. Okay. Loreboy's canon. I think there'll be DLC, and you can... there's more reasons for that. What are you going to say, Ethan?
Because they say your lore boy's canon is there's no way to interact with a cocoon because they're clearly saving it for a DLC where it's like, well, why did you kill him when you had the chance, you idiot?
Yeah.
That's one. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that the family tree that Jamie shared with us does have Gideon Ofnir on it, and he is on par with Godfrey, Marika, Radagon, those people.
Yeah.
And like, who knows, again, how accurate these family trees are or whatever, yeah. But he does seem to just be like an outsider who's kind of like power equivalent, maybe in some senses, or at least age when equivalent, maybe.
When I check the wiki, it's just like you can summon him and he's ultra powerful, like sorcerer type guy. But like, okay, so like if you can't interact or kill the cocoon, there's even a quest where you can get Mikella's needle, which in theory would like drive away all outer outsiders. Gods, right? to awaken him, people have gotten the needle and it has a different use in the game for the frenzied flame that we're kind of going to touch on later. So people have tried like every in-game item to be like, let's open this cocoon, but you can't.
Yeah.
And that's another, that's point two, put a pin in it, we'll come back to it.
Yeah, this is Jamie with like the guy on the tarmac signaling the plane in at a FromSoft business meeting, basically just being like, just set her down, boys. Yeah. Just set her down.
Yeah. You know? It's right there. So flashback to Mikella. She's for our finale, right? She's in a coma. She gets left off.
He is in a coma, right?
Mikella, yeah.
Or sorry, flashback to, I said the wrong one.
That's why I asked, because I was like, he's either talking about Millennia or he's talking about Mikella, but we're not clear.
Thank you. So flashback to Millennia, just finished her battle with Radahn, carried back to where she thinks her brother is, the Hallig Tree, and she's left there at the base of it, and she doesn't wake up for a little while. But
don't worry, Millennia, 'tis I, Sir Finley. I've brought you home to your brother. Now I will go make some tea while you wake up. Surely you will not be enraged by what you see. I have saved you.
Yeah. So the Hallig Tree is now misshapen and a husk of what it used to be because the blood that grew it is no longer around, right? And Melania is at the root of the tree and her rot starts to corrupt the tree and the surrounding soldiers that used to stand for Mikella. So by the time you get there in game, it's like this husk of a tree that was used to be a good tree, but now is all scarlet rotty.
That he would have the foresight to just be like, yo, guys, I'm going to be in a cocoon for a couple of weeks. I just need someone to come over and like water my plants with blood. Like just
my blood.
Exactly. So if I awaken from my 1,000-year slumber as an adult man for the first time and my plants are dead, I'm going to be like livid.
Now, Peter, I'm going to say Loreboy's canon. He gave somebody the golden syringe to do just that. And we don't know what happened to that person, but wherever you get the in-game item, that person clearly didn't make it to water the plants in time.
Like, you got the group chat on WhatsApp. It's like, hey, guys, going to be in my cocoon. Please water the Hallig Tree. Don't let my brother fuck me. And they screwed up both those things.
Yeah. So by the time, like I said, you explore Elphael and the Hallig Tree rot all over, you can optionally face off with Mikella. It's not you can beat the game without ever seeing Mikella if you want, but it's probably the hardest fight in the game. So if
you mean Millennia?
Or Millennia? Yeah. Why did I write Mikella? I actually wrote Mikella. Millennia, yeah. So let's talk a bit about
we never saw Mikella, but yeah, we're talking about Millennia.
Millennia actually never knows where her brother ended up.
When? Yeah. How would you?
Yeah.
She and instead of telling her, you beat her to death.
Unless some tourist would show up and just talk to her. I don't know.
All she knows is he's missing. Yeah. So at first, this is the final battle. So at first she fights you with only her swordsmanship. This is really tough. She's like, does like these big spinny moves and like closes gaps really easily. And it's really hard to even get past the first phase. But if you manage to do this, once again, there's somewhere in that off camera where she flowered a second time. And this is implied to be the third flowering where she lets go of everything she's been holding back for most of her life.
Okay. Where she went nuclear.
Yeah. Where she went nuclear.
So are we safe to say, or pretty confident in saying that against Radahn was the first time that she flowered?
Absolutely. Absolutely. First time. Second time happens off camera sometime.
We don't know.
Between where she wakes. Maybe she's angry because her brother's gone and she just freaks out.
Maybe it's just easier to do that now also. Yeah. Like, she's done it once.
Yeah.
And okay, so here's another question. I'm not sure you know the answer to this. Is it heavily implied that this is the third time specifically, or is it there's been at least two other times?
This is exactly the third time, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
Perfect.
Yes.
I love it when my questions lead into what you're about to say.
Yeah.
Before you can say it.
If you manage to beat the first phase, she lets go of what she's been holding back most of her life. This is the first time she's been beaten in combat ever in her entire life, right? Like she had
arguable against Radahn, because would you go nuclear
to the ground, to the fucking ground, beaten? Like not. I feel like I'm losing. Like no, like you're down. So she turns into the flower, but this time, it's not a bomb. The flower sprouts, and she rises from it with wings made of Aeonian butterflies that can be found around Skylet Rot, completing a metamorphosis like her brother was never allowed to finish for himself. And this time she embodies completely embodies the sealed outer god of Skylet Rot and becomes a full-fledged goddess. So the second phase of the fight, you were fighting a fucking goddess. Like it's very intense and the hardest fight in all Dark Souls games.
I've seen what she looks like. She does have like wings made of like the textures, because Dark Souls or FromSoft games kind of like are a little bit on the low res side. Yeah. But the like butterfly particles that spill off of it, she does have like two gigantic like angel wings made of like live butterflies. It's like one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Damn. So I still to date haven't seen, like I haven't watched any of Elden Ring, and I'll play it someday, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Sekiro. I'm like, I've never watched like playthroughs because I've always told myself like, oh, I'll play it someday, and never have basically. Yeah. And now I'm like turning 31 soon. Who knows if I ever will, you know? I will say I'm a big fan of we do a lot of magic lore and a lot of fantasy lore in general, and like avatars of gods and like God's presence in fiction, like I'm a huge fan of. And I do love that we've come now to like the outer god is the sealed god of Skylet Rot, right? So clearly like she's perfected the seal. She was like a god of Skylet Rot, which was in this world a demigod at best, but the fact that she's now perfected the seal to contain that Skylet Rot and use that Skylet Rot and use that against you, the player, is just phenomenal.
Yeah. And like you'd probably never know this from playing the game, that like if you just played it naturally and you didn't read every single item and like, so like you can really kind of emotionally connect to that moment whenever you hit that second phase. This is like something really epic that rarely happens in the game.
I mean, if I had played the game before hearing you tell me this story, it'd be like, cool, she's got a phase two.
Yeah, exactly.
I probably wouldn't be saying cool, she's got a phase two, because it sounds like she's the hardest boss in any Souls game. So I probably said, what the fuck, she's got a phase two, come on.
I'd have the wiki page up on my tablet screen and just be like, okay, so what are the two things I can trade her soul in for?
Yeah.
Is like what I would know.
How can I forge her soul into something that's useful for me?
A spell or a weapon? Like, which one's going to be good for my build?
So cool thing, if you do beat her, she leaves behind the flower. It seems to be like you didn't actually defeat the outer god, but like you defeated all the power that the outer god could channel through her, or she could channel from herself. And if you take the unalloyed gold needle from Millicent's questline that was made by her brother, and you put it into her, you get Mikella's needle as in return, which people have tried on Mikella's cocoon, which does not work, but you use it for the frenzied flame, another outer god for another day, but the Mikella's pure needle, like bathed in his sister's dead body, can get rid of the frenzied flame, I guess. And the frenzied flame's whole thing is just wants to remove life. Like, life is bad. Let me kill all life, burn up everything.
It's linked to dragons or something in this now, right? Like,
there's another outer god that's implied as the outer god of dragons, but frenzied flame is like tied into dragon.
Hats are the dragon ones. Like,
we will have. Very excited for. When was the last multi-parter Lore Boys episode that Jamie ran? You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
I'm thinking of Destiny, which you Monster Hunter. You definitely did multi-parter
not long ago. Deep Rock, just because it went so long, I got juice two out of it.
True. Just because we were such fans. Yeah.
So okay, let me finish my pitch then for the DLC.
Okay,
so that's the. That's the end of Millennium.
Next slide. Let's do it.
So child god or godchild grows into an adult while ripped from his home and tortured with blood magic, while his main motivator for his entire life, his sister, has been slain. Mikella also has a history of fighting back against outer gods, so it could be a factor in like some of the storyline. If you bring more outer gods in, Mikella could be like against that or for that, or and we still haven't found his great rune. So there's so many reasons for him to be mad. He's still alive. He has his great rune. His sister's dead. Like, he could be completely unhinged at this point. And we don't know what he's like after the blood magic. And we haven't been able, like, they tell us to kill him and we can't do anything. Like, give us Mikella. Give us, just, it's right there. It's a boss fight. Like, just give us that boss fight. And, yeah.
So, anyway. Okay. So here's my pitch.
Yeah.
Exactly why I want so bad for that to be true, Jamie, for that to be the case.
Yeah.
But like, FromSoft hasn't done it. Like, I love exploratory storytelling. You know what I mean? If it has a nice bow at the end of it, you know what I mean? If it's right there and you've set up all these threads, you can bring them together for the reader. You don't have to just like keep sending more threads off in like more tangential directions.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
but GRM, maybe GRM, maybe he had influence.
He's known for finishing stories. That's true. Yeah, he's very well known for being a guy to wrap stuff up and well received too, for sure. You know,
we'll have to wait for the Elden Ring TV show where they completely botch Mikella's storyline.
Yeah, the DLC HBO show.
Yeah, episode one, the Tarnished takes off his clay jar and you see his face. It's all fucked up.
Oh my fucking god.
Yeah. Well, honestly, that brings us to the end of Mikella and Melania. Yeah, this is really a cool episode for me. And like I said, this is like one tiny branch of a very large family tree. So if you guys want more of this, the lore is getting better all the time as us nerds play through the game in many different ways. So I could probably like squeeze out like five more episodes of this just from looking through stuff today. So if you want to hear them, let us know.
Just from hearing today, there's more that I want to hear. So I want like Outer Gods, I'm a big fan of. So Frenzied Flame next episode. But I guess let us know, you listeners, what you want.
I want to know about the dragons. Because
tell me.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of work, boys. So I'll have to go back into the kitchen and cook something up for you. But okay,
Jamie's going back into his cocoon, and I'm not gonna abscond with it or anything like that.
I come back from the kitchen, and I don't have an Elden Ring script, but I do have breadstick forks.
Yes.
Yeah, so
you got like Moog's trident is like a pretzel fork.
Yeah. That's pretty much it for now. If you want to hear more from us, let us know. I guess Ethan, you can take it away for our usual.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, then by all means, Discord is probably the best way to do so. There's a link in the description to get invited to our Discord server. Where you can chat with us, you can chat with other people who like the lore that we talk about. There's some community gaming nights that happen. I know Jamie and Peter are particularly active, making sure that you know we're doing crazy things like playing video games online with the folks. If you like the show and want to help support us, a great way to do so is by leaving us a review or telling your friends, your coworkers, your families, about the Lore Boys and about the things that we do. So consider leaving us a review, 5 stars or 2 thumbs up or a yes. If your review site, if the site is just asking for a yes, no on the Lore Boys, say yes. Say
whatever
yes
the good answer
guys,
is.
Guys, I'm Googling it and there are no breadstick forks, man. I think we've got something here.
It's a missed opportunity. You gotta cut. Like, if you're now that we're at the end of the episode and you keep hearing these like strange, like vacuous blanks in the audio, it's because we're saying. So, Peter, what do you want to plug this week?
Well, so now we've got more information about stuff that's coming up. So, of course, there's at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. I just some people just send us DMs on Instagram with requests. I always recommend that you come to Discord because that's the best way that we track it, because, of course, we have a search function. But if you just want to DM me on Instagram, please do so. That's how you can see pictures and all the artwork and whatnot. When I'm, of course, not working overtime and sick, and I can catch up on that shit. Otherwise, more importantly, Montreal Comic Con 2022 is 99% happening, God willing, that like nothing goes wrong. Just got the information in. The day that all three of us will be there is July 9th, is the day that we are trying to schedule in. If that changes after this episode, we will, of course, notify everybody live on air as things happen. But right now, if you want to show up in Montreal and have the means to do so, we'll be at the Montreal Comic Con on July 9th, 2022. And then afterwards, you know, if you guys are around, we'll probably go out and have like a little mini local boys con and just like have some drinks and hang and, you know, just do a little bit of like face to face time, basically.
Yeah. Jamie, anything you want to plug? I know I stole your thunder with plugging the Discord there. I didn't even mean to do it, but
no, that's totally fine by me. Get in the Discord. Like, come tell me I'm wrong about stuff. Help me get more right for the next time. I wanted to say thanks to, I forgot to say at the beginning, Floyken, Sketched Out Jesus, Sketchy Jesus.
Sketchy Jesus. Yeah.
Sketchy Jesus.
Good shout out.
And those are the two that have been asking for Elden Ring the most. I know there's a bunch of you, but I'll give it to those folks this time. And that's it.
And if you guys like the show, want to support us financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. It's where you guys can get the script to this episode, including that family tree that we mentioned. You get a bit of bonus audio that we record either before or after each episode. You get the loser titles, all the titles that I was furiously penciling down while we were recording this. They go up usually before the episode goes live. And there's a fun little guessing game in the Prime Folks Discord channel. Where people try and guess what episode we're actually talking about based on the dumb jokes that we made during the actual recording of it.
Some weeks are...
I like it when you guys get it wrong.
Yeah, me too. Some weeks it's too easy, but some weeks it's really fun. And then you get some people will get like so... Like from one word, they're able to backwards search or figure it out. And like, it's really amazing.
So sometimes it's like, we're like, oh, this is going to be really obvious. Everyone's going to get it. Nobody gets from the titles what we're talking about. And then sometimes Fragile Shark is just like, oh yeah, you guys are talking about Pinocchio lore. And we're like, well, fuck me. Okay, dude, I guess. Like,
Like sometimes the title is just like the Elden Ring episode and everybody's just like, what could they possibly be doing? And sometimes it's like, oh yeah, like disposable breadstick forks. It's like, oh yeah, well that's Elden Ring, obviously.
Yeah. Exactly. Fragile, in the N64 era, I feel like he can pin down any story-based stuff because he just has played every one of those
games. Yeah,
exactly.
Anyway,
and of course, if you guys don't trust Patreon, we do have the Lore Boys Prime Bakery opening up soon. Obviously, we've got garlic bread forks on lock, but we are looking for croissant screwdrivers. Okay, we're looking for Danish spatulas. We're looking for any kind of functional pastries.
They've
any
done
functional pastry, really.
They've done spoons. I found someone named Tim Simpson has done spoons, but we got to beat them to forks, baby.
Hey, I've been doing a lot of garden work these days. I want a pancake hoe, you know, so I can, so I can
get to man.
Drizzle it in syrup and get to gardening. You know, what I
feel like some people would like self-identify as pancake hoes.
I'm sure our next patron after Ethan's illegitimate child will be the pancake hoe. So looking forward to meeting you guys, and I guess that would cost you a lore boys out. I'm like, okay, you're throwing it into like sand in hell. I don't know if that's what like the creator, the archdruid creator of this magic item had in mind whenever he created it. So I was like, roll a D100. Of course, the first time ever in the campaign, D100 was rolled. She rolls a one. So.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.